So I must say, in the start of another month of Deads on the Podcast online.
Yeah.
It's essentially what it is. It sucks.
Yeah.
Really, really, really sucks. But I do have a PSA.
Yeah.
I need to make sure that Rob Berman understands that I was wrong. The new Asterion mech looks absolutely amazing.
That thing looks stunning.
I cannot wait to get my hands on one. Mm-hmm. Or two. Or three.
many as possible.
Yes. With that, and with the leader that we're going to be talking about today, going through a couple things, I need to order some
Marionette. Some Asterions?
I don't need to order Asterions, so I think I have pretty much everybody. I might not have a dervish. You said something about that, and I was looking, and I was like, oh, wait, that's a bow. That's not a double-bladed. Crap.
Yeah, the dervish, I think, is supposed to come in, like, the Khaleeshi box set. I don't think it's sold by itself.
Yeah, let's see.
I was looking that up earlier.
Khaleeshi.
It's going to be one of those things where Asterions are the new hotness.
Yeah, Asterions are going to be the new hotness. So I have the Dervish and 4 Khaleeshi.
Nice.
So, and I have plenty of the other odds and ends. I only have 6 Marionettes. And as you know, I created a list while we were getting ready for this.
Yeah.
Just because I was kind of curious, because I wasn't looking at the Asterions as what's the word for the list? A horde list.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we found that sweet spot for us, the 175 points.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the 200 points where you can pretty much take literally anything you want.
Yep.
And it's not the 150 points, which limits you so much that one model dies, you're screwed.
Yeah.
So it's that nice medium. So I was playing around with lists, and obviously it's a quick list. There's not really much to it. But you can do 21 models, including 2 missile launchers and 3 snipers with the marionettes. I need to pick up some marionettes.
Yeah. So before we get too far in.
Me? Jump ahead? Never.
Yeah. Yeah. So just want to welcome everybody to Dead Zone, the podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Brian.
And I'm the other guy, Rick.
Welcome to the Dead Zone podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop.
We have those long cold opens for whatever reason.
I really don't know why we do either.
Eventually the title card will appear.
Yeah, someday.
But once again, we find ourselves in separate locations due to
month 2.
Yep, quarantine number 2.
It's what it is. I mean, it's our second month in, really.
Yep, yep.
Apparently, the 7 can't make up their mind.
Yeah, but it's episode 7, I think, for us.
Are we really on episode 7?
Yep. I think our official episode count puts us at 107 now.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's moving right along. So, sadly, we don't have any, like, Adepticon news to report.
Yeah. Well, I mean, technically it's Adepticon news. If you look at And I'm sure at this point, all of the listeners and everybody have already seen it. Rob has posted the actual model online. Mm-hmm. There are some new stuff coming to Dead Zone.
Yep.
With the new Asterians.
Yep, new Asterians, the Matsudan arriving.
An amazing mech.
I do apologize. I kept calling it Spectre, and it looks like it is Spectra. I was thinking it was just the weird spelling in the UK where the R and the E are switched around, but no, it is in fact Spectra. And it's looks amazing. Sweet. So cool. And
it is. I'm hoping for, like, over the next couple months that we find out a little bit more of plans going forward on what's going on with Dead Zone. Because Dead Zone is, it's an interesting game when it comes to the market.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, it's not huge tournament scene like Kings of War.
Yeah.
And there's a good portion of us players that play all the other games.
Yeah.
So I'd love to see a continued love for the game from mm-hmm. Mantic. I think with as much grief as I'm getting from Rob on my apologies for the Asterian mech, but there's definitely the love there.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. And you know, it's kind of cool because the bright side of the Council of Seven canceling everything, we have seen such an increase in the number of actual players.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to mention that is like, one of the coolest things about it has been seeing the uptick in all of the Facebook groups as far as people going, hey, I've had this since Kickstarter, and I thought I'd dust it off.
Yeah, I love the whole, yeah, so I got this in first edition Kickstarter. What all do I need to keep playing?
Right.
It's been great seeing that, and of course the hobby aspect of it.
Also a big uptick there with people like going, hey, I'm finally going to be painting these guys, or I'm going to put together all this terrain that I've got.
Which, amusingly enough, I've done both, finally.
I'm pulling up something else or another piece of news that we'll get to a little bit later.
Okay.
On the Dreadball side of things.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because didn't some come out the day we're recording this? Didn't some just come out?
Yeah, they... Along with a bunch of stuff for like the 3v3 matches and stuff like that Bread Doll has been pointing out, Mantic has posted kind of a new concept that they're running with, and I think some of the details are still kind of falling into place, but a big part of what they're doing is Dreadball historical matches.
So, say what?
Yeah. So the idea is that obviously Dreadball within the universe has been around for a long time, and it's incredibly popular. Yep. But what that means is that, you know, historically that there have been huge matches that have taken place, big upsets, you know, amazing, you know, tournaments or championships. And it gives the... What Mantic is doing looks to be that they're going to be putting together a couple of samples of these historic matches where you can then relive that moment, which is kind of a really neat concept.
Cool. That's that whole reliving major events in history.
The game's constantly repeated on DBPN Classic, Dreadball Programming Network Classic.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So it looks like they're going to start with the first match that they're going to have available is the 50th Toronto Core World Series Championship, created by a friend of the show, Crazy A, Andrew.
Crazy A.
Yep, and it's the Draconis All-Stars versus the the Ninth Moon Tree Sharks. So they have a PDF available, contains a little bit of the history on that, and the team rosters that you'd be have to play with. But from there, we're getting a lot of other updates too. I realized that we're talking about Dead Zone, and then we kind of switched gears to Dreadball immediately. But I'm cool with that.
Of course you are.
But another,
you always kick my butt.
Another big update was that with the quarantine, and I think we mentioned it last time, other friend of the show, Ciaran Morris, has been working on some awesome stuff on Vassal to get some of these games into an online environment.
Okay. So playing the dumb guy here. That's sure. Really hard task for me. what is Vassal?
So Vassal is this free tool that you can download that basically serves as like a little gaming platform, and people can develop modules for it that define rules and visuals and stuff like that. In this case, they actually are also working on the same kind of tool for Vanguard and I think Kings of War. I think Kings of War has got a couple other platforms they're playing around with too. But basically you download Vassal, and then the Mantic is making these modules available for free to try out. Ciaran's been posting them in the respective Fanatics pages. And so basically you can load that up, and it has the option. Admittedly, I haven't done this myself yet. I just haven't had the chance to really dive into it. Because a little tangent is like, this is actually the first recording following my big move to a new apartment.
Yeah.
So I now have a little
bit
more.
You've got hobby in there.
I've got some hobby to talk about, which will be fun. But yeah, so this tool then, you can have it on your PC. It lets you connect with another player, and basically you can, you know, take your respective turns. I have to try out the modules. I know they're a work in progress. He's basically building it out as fast as he can, but it's sure. it's really cool that he's doing this. It seems very much like a combo of like a passion project that Mantic is like, yeah, you got this guy.
go for it.
And he's just been going, like, working around the clock on getting those out, which is awesome. Like, props to you, Ciaran. Really cool guy.
Yeah.
And so definitely check those out. I'll be posting. I think I had the links to them before, but I'll see if I can update the links in today's show notes to include any kind of updated patches and upgrades.
That's awesome. Okay. So now that we've been all over the board. well, technically we didn't touch on
Star Saga. Oh man, there's stuff on Star Saga too.
Yeah. So did you know that Brad, also a friend of the show, mm-hmm. And one of our members of the MMC, actually, he has taken, I think he's up to mission 4 right now.
I think so.
He's released them as PDFs, but so you can play them solo easier.
Yeah, so this is the Star Saga missions that he's been working on.
Sorry. That's why you run the show, Brian. You're the one that keeps me in line.
Well, it looks like he's got, as of yesterday, mission 6.
Okay, so he is up to 6. That's sweet.
Yeah.
But he has it done where when you're playing, it only shows you on the map the first room.
Nice.
And then once you get to that door, you swipe over, and then it shows you the next room. So instead of setting up the whole board like, well, we do, because it's easier, you're getting that whole experience of each room is brand new.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been really cool, the work that he's been putting in on that front. And is always there supporting a lot of the new players that come in with questions. I think one of the last ones is like, when did the guys with the flamethrower show up?
Yeah.
And
well, he did that huge thing, and I think I'm pretty sure we linked it before, the whole over on Game Board Geek.
Yeah.
No, what
Board
is
Game
it?
Geek.
Yeah. Board Game Geek. Sure. The living FAQ that he has.
It's extensive, and it's great that he's, you know, putting that support behind it and really encouraging people to dive into the game and ask questions and get involved. And it's kind of a surreal, great time for the hobby in a weird way.
At least for the hobby itself and the community. Obviously, we can't get together and play games, which is killing me. But we have that ability to play these games solo, at least a couple of them. We have with the Vassal. And it would be awesome if somebody like knew what they were doing in Dead Zone.
I think there's been a couple of people taking a poke at doing it on Tabletop Simulator. So I think Vassal's big advantage is that it's 2D. It's kind of flat.
Ah, okay.
Which is why it works really well for like Dreadball and Vanguard and everything, where it's just kind of like the bases are what's important. With Dead Zone, because it's kind of a 3D environment, I know people are looking at Tabletop Simulator, which is one you can purchase, and same kind of thing where people have developed modules for these different games.
For each of the games.
Yeah. So I know there's probably a chunk of the community that's taken a look at that, and we might be seeing. I think I saw some screenshots of someone like putting together some Dead Zone scenery as 3D models for that.
That's sweet. Now, and like, you know, it's funny. I used to play a lot of video games. I used to exclusively be a video game guy. I can't play video games really anymore. No. I have a hard time getting into them because I've spent so much time on miniatures and the physical, moving the models and rolling the dice. But that being said, when this is all over, I think those pieces are still going to be utilized because we'll be able to play with people across the waters.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely going to be a shift. And I think in a positive way. Because there'll still definitely be those of us that love to get together with our local clubs, meet up in person, play these games in the real space, so to speak. but it is really kind of broadening that gaming community, and I think we're gonna see, you know, this is maybe a kind of hopeful, optimistic prediction, but you know, it'd be awesome to see all these people that then have played online realize that there are folks nearby them that are interested in playing, and that we then get together and more people, you know, that community just continues to grow and get bigger. And I think we'll see a lot of people kind of coming out of the quarantine having played either Star Saga, you know, with some solo rules or their family, and then want to try it out with some of their other friends, maybe at a gaming store or something like that, find out about Dead Zone and Dreadball and all the other games. I just ate lunch recently, so
that's fine.
But yeah, so I'm thinking there's definitely going to be some great crossover that's going to happen here.
I think there is. And you also look at so you got the unfortunate part about this, all the seniors. My heart goes out to them. This is the biggest senior skip day ever. But those seniors and those teenagers that have been stuck at home, that all of us geek dads and moms, they've avoided us. for so long, are been stuck in our house with us for 2 months, have the opportunity to play these games. And I feel that there's going to be those teenagers that are secretively going, Dad, can I snag your Star Saga? I'm going to go over to Billy's house. I think we're going to see more of that, too.
Yeah, I think so. I think so in a big way, which is going to be sweet.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure I want Levi stealing all my board games, but yes. So we've kind of completely gone off any form, shape, or otherwise of a script.
Yeah.
So I mean, let's figure out what we want to do for the rest of the show.
Sure. I guess we could probably talk a little bit about what there's so much going on in the community that it's kind of hard to like narrow down like one thing. I know I had a quick note on Vault of the Undead .wordpress.com. I'm loading it up right now. The little hobby WordPress site, but it's the one where he put together Outpost 31, which is the gigantic table.
Yeah.
It's all painted. It's utterly gorgeous, this place. But it's like part like a industrial complex with like a bunch of cranes and grates and stuff like that.
Yep.
with some of that terrain. And then it bleeds over. And it actually is, yeah, it's some uncertain scenery in there too.
Which is awesome.
And then that bleeds over to like across a roadway. There's like a full-on like fortified outpost with walls going all the way down, and
yep,
he's got it set up as a little diorama with some enforcers and some plagues standing on it. I'll be linking this thing for sure, because it is stunning to look at.
Yes, that's been when it comes to the hobby, I think you could probably spend about 2 hours going from just one of the Fanatic sites of finding things that you could share and post on here.
Mm-hmm.
There's been so much, and I have felt horrible because I haven't done very much. I honestly haven't. I don't have the excuse that I was moving. Just saying. You have a valid excuse. But I think really we should link the Fanatics groups.
Yeah.
Because there is so much on there. So many people, so many different lists that people have created and painted. And the scenery has been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
People have definitely taken advantage, I really wish I had, of this extra time to do some hobbying. That being said, I've seen that you've been doing some hobby.
Yeah, I finally, it took a couple of weeks.
Yep.
But now that I'm all moved in, I got a little space set up in the new apartment that can be a little hobby space. And with all the Star Saga stuff going on, I thought it was finally time for me to dive in and start painting my Maison Labs. Those of you that also listen to me on Mobile Arm Radio will know that I'm a big Gundam fan, which is probably not shocking to anybody else on this that listens to this show either. As I've painted my GCPS as the Earth Federation Forces, I've painted my Marauders now as the Zeon. And so Maison Labs...
What are you doing with Maison Labs?
They get to be the Titans from Zeta Gundam. So they exist in the same timeline universe as the first two that I worked on. They're basically kind of after the Zeon.
I don't think I've watched Zeta.
Zeta's a fun, weird one. Unfortunately, that's
fun,
when
weird
you
one.
It makes more sense to watch the whole show than the movie compilations. I won't dive too deep into Gundam, guys, I promise. But the Titans are basically when the Zeon movement gets initially pushed back, they're the force set up by the Earth, just this is broad strokes plot details.
That's fine.
they're the force that's set up by the Earth Federation to kind of be better. I'm going to put quotes around that. Better police for the space colonies, which means that they're kind of. If Zeon were the space Nazis, these guys are the space Gestapo. Like, they are hardcore, brutal, mean guys. And so I thought that'd be very fitting for the Maison Labs, who are turning people into mutant monsters and stuff.
They're just misunderstood. They're scientists just trying to figure out how to take care of the plague. Trust me.
They're not
doing anything wrong.
I trust you. So you'll have to
link us. What's that?
I've got some fun ideas on how, like, doing the paint schemes and stuff like that. It's kind of a dark blue and red are kind of the main motifs. But I got some ideas. They obviously have some giant robots with them, but there's also some really creative things on my mind to do some of the more monstrous members of their team.
Sweet.
Yeah. So that's kind of been the big one as far as my hobby time.
So I love that your fiance posted a picture of you working at your paint desk.
Yeah.
And one of you playing the Nexus Psi rules.
Yep. So that was the other thing I did. I did the solo rules first, and then I started painting. But I've decided that it's finally that moment when the Rebs need to check out Nexus Psi and see what's going on there. So I played the first mission of the solo artificial stupid rules against zombies. And it's you basically put together a 300-point army list, and then you take 100 points of that for the first mission. Which meant I had about 8 guys, I think.
And how did you fare?
3 made it out.
Hey, so your first mission was successful.
Yep.
How did the rules play for you? Do you like the artificial stupid?
I do like the artificial stupid. It is a very different way to play Dead Zone, because it is not basically like the zombies. Rather than an alternating activation kind of thing, they will get to go immediately after actions by you.
Yep.
Right. So it's like, you know, if each character has like a move and a shoot action, well, the zombies will, like, if they see you where you stop moving, they will get to move towards you by one cube. So it's and that first mission is kind of brutal, and, you know, all fairness, because like you are completely surrounded. And a lot of the rules are like, if they're within 4 cubes, well, it's like, well, that's half the board. So, but it is fun. It is a different way to play, but it is fun.
So in playing the Nexus with your Rebs, which I have some things to say about the Rebs, by the way.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
So do you think by playing Nexus Psi and playing against the zombie artificial stupid that it gave you a different insight on how your list plays?
Yes, definitely. Because it is there's new considerations to take place, because like say I'm activating one model and he gets seen and a zombie moves towards him, but he enters a cube with another. With one of my other models, that starts an immediate fight between those two. And so you have to be so much more conscious about, like, okay, I need to set up, I need guys that are good in melee.
Yep.
But they need to, like, and they also need to be able to take out a zombie, like, every single fight. Because if they don't, and they start, like, any time where my guy failed to kill the zombie, and another one arrived, It was like a death sentence. Because they
Sorry,
get
I don't mean to laugh about a death sentence.
The plus one on moving in, the plus one for having a buddy. Don't they get another plus one for the horde effect?
Horde. Yes.
I couldn't remember if that was just a bonus die, or if that was just that they didn't have limit
plus
on a cube.
Plus one for every additional zombie is what horde is. So if your initial zombie doesn't get horde, on your second zombie, that first one will get the plus one for friendly and plus one for horde. Then you add a third one, it's a third dice. It gets ridiculous.
Yeah. So, and typically on top of that is that my guy would have been wounded if he didn't kill a zombie. So it's like, and then another dice. So even with just two zombies showing up against one guy, it was brutal. And with it being a campaign too.
Yeah.
I didn't cheat much, but I did look a little bit ahead just to kind of scope out like how vast this campaign is. Like the last mission is you have like all your models left. And there are some restrictions in the rules, like you can't have vehicles, which makes sense. But even like with the Rebs, like if I were to bring, like snipers are great with Rebs.
Yeah.
But like in this kind of scenario where like that, you're not standing in one place shooting. Like you kind of need to be mobile. And I don't know.
It's a huge advantage for the Rebs when it comes to their snipers.
Yeah, obviously their snipers can move and shoot, which is a huge advantage. But it also just lends itself to be like, hey, you have to rethink how you're using your snipers.
Yeah.
Because hunkering down is not a very wise option if these guys constantly get closer every time you take a shot. So
now, do you think, now that you've started this and you're going to go continue with this, do you think this is going to give you any kind of different outlook when like playing me the next time in an actual game?
I think so. Like it'll obviously be one thing I have tried to do is to add some of the newer models into my list, because I actually haven't played many of the new Reb units because I'd switched forces since Escalation came out. So I hadn't played around with like the Alpha Simian the Sphere Hunters and stuff like that. I try to pepper my list with some of those newer units. The downside was like, well, at 300 points, it's still kind of tight for an entire force, and making sure you still have kind of the staples that'll keep your guys alive.
Yeah. That's awesome. So, Rebs.
Yeah.
Okay, man, you started something. So at one point it was just a little joke between the two of us. You would go, "Woohoo, Rebs!"
Woo, go
on
Rebs.
Anything that's posted, and I would make some Council of Seven comment or go home, Rebs, you're drunk. So then John Jack joined in with you with his elite Rebs, which okay, two of you, I can handle that. A couple more times I gotta respond. So then Jeff jumps in. Jeff Burbage jumps in with a woohoo, Rebs. And then Elizabeth jumps in. What have you done? They're starting to get a point where I can't respond enough because everybody's going Rebs.
I'm just saying, everyone's heard that Rebel yell, and especially with quarantine going down, they're like, hey,
Corey's another one. Corey, one of our guys from the MMC. He jumped in on the last one. I'm like, come on, really?
He's a great Rebs player, by the way.
He's a scary Rebs player.
But no, I think it's everyone's just seeing how awesome the Rebs are, and that it's got to be down with the Council of Seven. I think it's just a given. It was bound to happen.
It's bound to happen. I gotta say, I've loved. As much grief as I give you for it, I've loved the interaction between everybody with that.
Yeah,
It's become this fun little thing. Hopefully at some point, maybe somebody decides to join my side.
Yeah.
Be a nice change, but I'm doubting that's going to happen. It's okay. I'll be the only one that sticks up for the council.
I mean, that's perfectly acceptable if you are into oppression and everything.
No, apparently I'm into robots now.
Yeah.
Thanks to the Asterians.
Yeah. So, I don't know if there was much hobby that you wanted to talk about. I mean, you have been working on a bunch of stuff.
Hey, so I have worked on, let's see, so 2 months. I think I've started 6 or 7 major projects. I have not succeeded in finishing very many of them. I did pick up some new Uncertain Scenery. Nice. His 28mm roadway stuff.
So cool.
Now you have some of that too, right?
I do. I haven't had a chance. Uncertain Scenery piece put together as one of the T-junctions, but I actually have, I think, 5?
Nice.
Or 6 things from him.
Nice. I have an obscene amount because I love it.
It's so cool.
So yeah, I got those built. So I saw your post on your Nexus Eye run and seen some people talk about it. I came down into my little bunker and I'm looking around and I was getting ready to play it. It made me realize I have no actual painted zombies.
Yeah. I had that realization too.
Way back in the beginning, I was using Horrorclick zombies for my zombies because, well, they were already painted, so I didn't have to worry about it. So one of the bigger projects that I'm proud of getting done was I painted up 12 zombies. And I had a lot of fun painting them. I was really surprised. And it made me realize that also, you know, at some point you get into, you have a style of how you paint. Regardless of what faction or what game system it is, you end up having that style that kind of goes across the board.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that bright color scheme.
Yeah.
So with the whites and the blues and the reds and the greens, I had a lot of fun painting my zombies. I needed some more. Because 12 isn't enough. I did. I also did, just last night, as the day recording it, I did up another vehicle. I was playing around with different styles of painting, I guess, different ways of painting. I wanted to do some camo, some alternate style camo, and I tried tape. So I gave it a base color, and then I took pieces of painter's tape, the green tape, blue tape, whatever it is for painting. I took the little pieces and I put all over the vehicle, and then gave it another paint over on top of it, and then pulled those off. It's a fun way to paint. I think it'd be really cool. I don't think that my scheme really lets it shine very well with the red and blue. Maybe it would have worked better with like some whites and grays or grays and darker grays. It's definitely something I'll go back to and try on one of the other. I might try it on the Enforcer Interceptor.
Nice.
But yeah, that's what I've been working on. And of course, watching and seeing. The nice thing I can say about this is I've got more hobby pictures and articles and miniatures to look at on my Facebook versus Chaos News. I've enjoyed that. Whoa.
And just like that, we're getting an update about The update to our quarantine status.
They don't say self until May 15th. Okay, that's it. So on May 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th, we're playing Dead Zone.
It'll be nice to be out of quarantine, that's for sure.
So, I'm not really sure. You know, I think at one point we actually had a process of what exactly we were going to talk about today.
I know there's at least one last thing we should talk about.
We should. So, Asteria. So
we promised, I think, a couple episodes ago that we were going to do another unit highlight, and then it was like...
Leader highlight.
Nothing for a while.
Yeah.
And so today what we're going to be looking at is the Marinette Prime from the Asterians list. You want to give them the rundown on that guy?
Sure, I'll do the rundown. So, we have the Marinette Prime. Movement is 1-2. Shoots on a 4, fights on a 6, survives on a 5. He's got 0 armor. He's a size 1. He's got Tactician 1, and he's a Construct. He comes standard with a no rifle, range 5. His weapon options are small arms. And, of course, for the campaign ability, he's got ranged in command. So the cool, his splat. Now, when you look at his stats are even pretty decent for a shooter. So yeah. His link, his splat is called Linked. Use an army special result on a command dice when a Marionette Specialist, or Marionette Prime performs a shoot action to allow a second Marionette Specialist, or Marionette Prime within 2 cubes of the first model to also take a free shoot action at the same or another model in range. At the end of the activation, both models are marked as activated.
Man, that reminds me of a Dreadball ability.
Yeah. He's got a recon of 5, he costs 20 points, and he's 2 victory points. By far one of the cheaper leaders across the board. 2 victory points, that ain't bad. When we first decided to pick him to talk about,
yeah,
I was reading through the vehicle. It's like, well, that'd be great if you were able to do kind of a large swarm style list, because that activating that second model for that free shoot can hurt you.
Yeah.
Because it limits your activations. But then I decided to, and we touched on it earlier, I made a quick list, a very bare bones basic list, the bare minimum of what you can do with a Marionette Prime. So the Marionette Prime, 5 marionettes, 5 marionette, 10 marionettes.
Yeah. It was a lot of them.
Yeah. So 10 marionettes gives you... That's 100 points. Because they're only 10 points.
They're only 10 points.
Their specialists are only 10 points.
Yep.
So you could swarm with the marionettes using the Marionette Prime. And that way, that activation using that splat won't hurt you as bad. Because if I'm running 15 to 20 models and you've only got 12, I'm always going to have more models than you.
Yeah.
But with this ability, I can shorten my list of activated models to actually be able to steal that next turn from you. I think it's pretty cool.
I think it is a really fascinating thing. And it's something you really don't think about with like you're saying, the Asterians, you don't think of them as being able to be a swarm force, but you really can have a lot of these guys and they can wipe the floor really quickly. Like they're still armed with their no rifle, with the basic marionettes. So they're range 5. So it's like a regular rifle.
Yep.
Well, they don't have rapid fire, but, you know, with them being constructs, they can't be pinned. So,
just great.
Yeah, and so they're just kind of running around. They also don't have the downside of the ciphers, which is the vulnerable. So they can take two hits before they drop. Of course, the ciphers kind of offset that with some armor, but with the marionettes, like they're a solid choice in the grand scheme of things. And really kind of making that the focus of your force, I think is a really, really smart move.
I think it leads to that players aren't expecting
Mm-hmm.
it. When you're looking at how Astarions play and what people play with Astarions, obviously you see a lot of the Khaleesi. The Khaleesi lists are hugely popular.
Yeah.
You also have the, what drone is it?
The fission beamer, the weapon drone,
The weapon drone,
or
and some of
pulse
the abilities,
bombard.
the pulse bombard, yeah,
I know
that's
is
the
a
one,
popular one.
which is
Indirect four,
ridiculous. It sucks.
plasma vortex frag five.
You have the list that have those. You have the list with the Khaleesis and their smoke. They're very mainstays. I mean, you see it all over the place that people are playing these style lists. But what you don't see is that horde list. And I think the Marinette Prime leads to being able to do a horde list and do it well, I think.
Yeah.
So
I
for
think you could
myself,
definitely
it's time to order some more.
Yeah, you could definitely pull it off with that horde list. And like you're saying, like the sniper is just a small little upgrade. They have one of the AP sniper rifles, which is
It's
good.
heavy, but
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going
But
up against zombies with these guys, so.
yeah. But even so, like the Cypher specialists, like light assault and explosive, which gives them access to some extra AP weapons, like the light missile launcher, which is not heavy. They've got an AP2 missile launcher,
And that's
range
only
7.
eight. Only
Yeah.
cost eight.
It's a cheap little missile launcher that I've been on the receiving end of a couple of times, and ugh. They got a range 2, phlogister, basically their flamethrower. But also, like, I think you do the horde with like a combo with the support drone and having a cloaking device kind of running around would be a great way to move your force forward if you didn't want to have to like spend and rely on like smoke grenades to kind of get you there. And then also like having a comms relay could be a really interesting way of scoping out. It's like, all right, I'm gonna ping this cube, so everything in it I get a +1 on. And then you have basically the ability to activate two marionettes to target that cube with a whole lot of fire, and an extra dice and everything. Like Astarions are great combo lists. They've got a lot of versatility. The only thing really working against them is kind of their fragility. Like they don't have a whole lot of things that are tough, but by that same token, they either shoot really hard or they hit really hard and move fast.
And they also utilize the shields.
And the shields are a huge advantage. So yeah, it's one of those things like, they've got that total of five different leaders. So you're not at a lack of options for different play styles.
Correct.
So definitely if you're looking at Astarion's list, and I think we're gonna have a lot of people that are with the updates that are gonna be coming out for these guys. Take a look at all of them. Maybe try out a couple of the different ones and see what really works for you. The Khaleesi Dervish and like Cypher Primes are always great go-tos. But the Marionette Prime I think could be a whole lot of fun for people if they give it a chance.
And I think that's the big thing, is think outside the box. In the Marionette Prime is that
Buxton.
Perfect example of Come what on. You can work with going outside of the norm.
Yeah. Absolutely. Admittedly, I'm only just really looking at the Asterians lists and the options that they have. It's fun.
Yeah, they're no Rebs.
They are no Rebs.
But now admitted, I can't lie. I was the one that hated the Asterians. But again, I apologize to Rob Berman. Asterians are now on my go-to list of projects.
They also have a lot of living legends.
Yeah, they do. Things.
Which I'm just checking right now. I'm like, I guess they're not more than most other ones. Like, it looks like most people, most forces have about four or five.
I think what it is the living legends for the Asterians are different, so much more different than your specialists and your units, because you're looking at an army of robots. So everything's very that same style, that robotic look. And then you jump over here and here you have, like, Oda Sora.
Yeah.
Who's big.
Right.
Because it's a big old lizard. But then you have Sohin, who's got that colorful bright yellow. They jump out at you really big in the book because they're completely different aesthetically from the Marionettes and the Talon and the Cyphers.
I'm continuing to flip through, and it's like, oh yeah, there's another living legend. It looks like GCPS and the Maison Labs are probably the two that have the fewest. Maybe Nameless? Yeah. There's a couple with only one, but there's a number of them that have like between four and five. So, but yeah, I think you're right. It's just that they got a really nice sharp contrast to them, and I think Asterians are gonna have even more options when the Matsudan are ultimately added to this list.
Which will be fun.
Yeah, I think we're gonna get some. Really, like, it's something where people, I think, with Asterians, and even in our own suggestion right now, they kind of go like, okay, I'm going to focus on having one of these, you know, I'm going to focus on having Cyphers, I'm going to focus on Marionettes or Khaleesi, or you know, what we suspect, like Matsudan.
Seamless.
Yeah.
My favorite.
They're fun, but there's that part of me that's like, what would be a really fun, like, combination of all, like, most of these? Like, what would it be like to have, you know, the Khaleesi Dervish being supported by a whole bunch of Cyphers? Or something along those lines, like, you know, just kind of really mix it up with the different forces. Granted, there's a couple of them. Yeah, It might not go great, ultimately. Like, the Marionette Prime and the Black Talon Prime, like, a big part of their abilities come from, you know, having Marionettes or Black Talons or Cyphers in the Force. So, definitely a consideration. But, I think we're going to see some really cool lists coming out of the Asterians. So, yeah.
You know, part of it is I think quarantine might have gotten to some people, like namely myself. I'm so scatterbrained.
Yeah.
Like, when we talked about, okay, what day were we going to get together and record?
Yeah.
I could have swore it was on, like, Monday. Yesterday was Thursday.
Yeah, yesterday was Thursday.
And
I was like, it's getting near the end of the month. We better set up this meeting to record this thing.
Yeah. And I know for some people that this will probably be the most scattered episode ever.
A little bit. But
it's a bit scattered, but, you know, it's the truth. I can't help that I'm scatterbrained. And I want to talk about this. And then I want to jump over and talk about this.
Yeah. And it's like one of the things I missed mentioning earlier about the, like, to jump around again, the Dreadball historical matches is that you can submit a historical match to Mantic.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah. I'll post the link, like, I think it's on the official blog page. Okay. Talks about it, and Bread Doll has a post as well, talking about, like, the requirements for, you know, what you got. I think it's like, you know, have a 2,000 point list or something like that to work with, because obviously it'd be at the end of a league, you're gonna have some upgraded players and whatnot. So yeah. I think that's a really cool.
That's awesome.
Didn't touch on earlier is like. That's actually a really cool aspect of it where, you know, some people might be daunted by a league play where it's like, well, I've got to do so many games then it's and everything. Whereas like, hey, if you just jump to the end and say, hey, your team has now won a championship or two. And so they are all these upgraded players, you know, just spread around a whole bunch of experience points and see what sticks. Like, yeah. That could be a really fun new way for people to play.
New ways to play. I think that is the theme of quarantine. Yeah. The amount of different ways people have figured out how to play.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might take a look at Vassal. Take a look at tabletop simulator. Yeah,
the tabletop one I know is typically like you buy the main application. Vassal is free to download. Yeah. would be the difference, but yeah, we should see about maybe we can get a Dreadball game in or something like that.
Well, I'm actually looking forward to sparking up League again.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple other people that want to jump into our league, or jump into a league as a league itself. And I think where we're at in the league, I think we can add in players and it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Yeah. I'd be down with that.
Getting in some league, I'd really like to go back and do a campaign again for Dead Zone.
Yeah.
I think, and maybe we, not let Michael play missile launching enforcers. but yeah, getting that league, that story-driven style of playing, I think is this whole thing has made me realize that that's my favorite way to play.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the tournament scene is a lot of fun. Where I've played in one of our tournaments officially and lost every single game. I suck in tournaments. I cannot play tournaments. I bow down to all of you guys that are tournament players. I'm a more casual theme style, tell me a story in my game. And I think Dead Zone, I think the background behind Dreadball and doing a league, playing up to that mass seasonal in I'm trying to figure out how not to say Super Bowl, but yeah, Super Bowl
championship, like
championship game. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I think that's the
this is the World Cup, the World's Cup.
Yeah, I think those are what drive me to continue to love these games and want to play more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was my big spiel out of left field. I don't know.
All right. Well, I think that's probably a good place to take a break this time around. Yeah.
Sounds good.
So everyone, try and stay sane, stay safe.
Try and stay a little bit more sane than me.
Yeah. And reach out to the community as well. Like if people are saying, hey, I really want to try that Vassal system, I just don't know who to play with. We'll hook you up. We got a huge community out there of people that both listen to us and talk to us. and game with us. So, you know, if not us personally, we can get folks in touch with those that will. So.
Yep. Sure enough. Of course, always. Thank you for listening to us.
Yes.
Especially Brian's definitely the Brian. I think you've taken on the role of Rob.
I was talking to Rob the other day, and he's like, "It's not as easy as it you thought, is it?" I'm like, that's quite a bit of work. But no, yeah, it's all good.
You're definitely the two of us. You're my Rob. thank you for kind of keeping me on track.
Thanks for being my Jack, I guess.
Oh, if only I was as good with words as Jack. So until next time.
Until next time.
We will hear and talk to you guys later. Thank you, Brian. Have a great night.
Thank you, Rick. Talk to you later.
Sorry, I couldn't stay focused on anything.
I was really scattered too, because it was like, I was like, oh yeah, I want to make sure we talk about this. And then I was looking up the article and I was like, well, I'm just going to talk about it now, I guess.
Now we'll talk about this. Oh, hey, look over here. Yeah. But, hey, it's what we do, right? Mm-hmm.